every afternoon. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, Don Davenport. We are going to Zoom through a Thursday. Literally, we're on Zoom now that I think about it. I didn't mean to say it that way, Don, but that's how we start things today. How are you?
It works. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Thursday.
Yeah, happy Thursday. Today is National Cat Day. In celebration of National Cat Day, I will not purchase a cat or adopt a cat. I'm going to do my part to not spread the cat love. That's just me. We're all different. I'm not a cat guy. What about you? You got four dogs. How do you think a cat would fit in?
Are you kidding me? My rescue dog would eat a cat in about half a second, like gone with not even fur left. Yeah, no cats could survive this chaos. Yes. I can barely survive it.
I have no hatred toward cats at all. In fact, my mom was a cat person. So my entire life growing up, we always had cats. And like, you know, one would die and then we'd get another one. And there was this one time there was one sitting in a rainstorm, like on the street corner, like a busy street corner. And my mom was going to dinner and she came back like 4 hours later and the cat was still there with, you know, no collar or anything. So, you know, next thing we know, that cat was ours. So, you know, little Timmy probably lost his pet that day. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Little Timmy didn't take very good care of his pet, so that's okay.
Look yeah. And so when that's I got when I got married, my wife was a dog person like you. So that made me a dog person, I guess. But, you know, my deal with them, I've said this on the show, was if we get a dog, we're getting a small dog because small dog, small poop, big dog, big poop. I don't want any part of it. So that's where we are. But it is National Cat Day. So if you have cats, you know, celebrate your cat. Because here's the thing, in the reality of the situation, that cat's probably like sitting on top of your couch or whatever right now. And everywhere you go in the house, it's looking at you and it's thinking of ways that it can kill you. But it can't. So you're good. But that's what's going through that cat's mind.
Don't I love think? That you just came busting out of the gates with pure cat hate on not National Cat Day. I mean, just, here you go.
Is that what it is? I don't mean for it to come across as cat hate. Because like the first half of my
very
life.
Clearly cat hate, yeah.
I had cats and I loved cats or whatever. But, you know, they do cough up weird things. And litter boxes I'm not a fan of.
They do plan to kill you somehow.
Yeah, that's always going through their mind. They just can't do it, which is good. But you can, like, go out of town for a weekend and leave your cat. Like, just leave enough food, enough water, litter box. You don't have to board the cat. So that's the one advantage. JT?
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door. But the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look, there's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow, the cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
That was the Coastal Carolina coach. And we just celebrated the anniversary of that cat rant like 9 years ago, a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I don't know. Jordan just sent us a picture of his cat and wrote hashtag National Cat Day. So send us your cat pictures and maybe you can win me over as a cat person, which would thrill my wife, let me tell you. We actually did have a cat once named Macy because it was gray, Macy Gray. See what we did there?
Oh, I like that, yeah.
And that cat was definitely trying to kill everything in its own head. But I love that cat now that I think about it. But yeah, Macy ended up, like, she didn't last very long. I think she developed a brain tumor and then was gone. We came home one night and the cat was just dead. I mean, just dead.
Okay. Come out of the gates. We got to get back on track here. We come out of the gates with cat hate. Now we're talking about dead cats. So, this is a debacle already.
Let me get to 3HL for Life's tweet that I just saw before my Twitter feed refreshed, where he wrote, "Dark chocolate sucks." So I'm going to have to get on that one in a little while.
Well, here, let me just throw some more wood on your fire today.
I love dark chocolate. What's wrong with dark chocolate?
I mean, supposedly it's healthier for you. By the way, yes. Dark chocolate will kill dogs and cats. So
this is true.
Daylight savings. It's coming.
Oh, gosh. I hate that, too. If I ever get elected to office, I'm changing that deal.
This is like your entire campaign kind of like promo. This is it. So at some point, we'll let you rant about that, too, because that's on Sunday.
Yeah, that's coming up. You gain an hour of sleep and everybody gets excited about that. I'm like, okay, you get that extra hour of sleep. Then what? Then it's dark at 4:45 in the afternoon.
Miserable.
I'm out on that. And I get like morning show reporter. You can get with this, right? Morning show reporter who is standing out reporting on, you know, this and that and the educational meeting and all the school zone and all this stuff are standing in the dark the entire shift, right? Like 7 o'clock. It's starting to get light, but they're done. So I get their angle, but that's like, you know, I don't know, 7 people in town. You know what I mean?
That is correct. Yeah. Morning show people are the only ones that don't have a problem with this day on Sunday. Yeah. Honestly, right. Well, if we haven't been there for 5 years, we're the only ones.
You know who's a dog though? Don Davenport. Titans running back Derrick Henry, and he's been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for October. So October 13th against Buffalo, 19 carries, 57 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And you look at the 19 for 57, and you're like, okay. But then you understand the touchdowns and the significance of some of those runs in that game and the stiff arm with Josh Norman. Okay, that has to be factored in. October 18th. 5 days later against Houston, 22 carries, 212 yards and 2 touchdowns. The bizarre thing about the Houston stuff is, and we hit this in the moment, but 22 carries for 212 yards and 2 touchdowns. Last time out against Houston, he had 23 carries for 213 yards and a touchdown. So Derrick Henry murders Houston. Mm-hmm. And October 25th against Pittsburgh, 20 carries, 75 yards and a touchdown. So that's 344 yards in the month. 114.7 yards per game, 5.6 yards per carry, which is a lot better than September. And somebody put out like his monthly numbers over the course of his career, and they incrementally get better. September is usually not very good, honestly. And then October is better. And then November is, I think, his best month. And then December is really good too. So, you know, I mean, he came up with the name December Derrick Henry, which ultimately he hated, but I mean, it was true. So congrats to Derrick Henry, Offensive Player of the Month. And for the way that he plays, Don, and as the weather gets colder, I just anticipate this season that he's had. He's already got 663 yards. He leads the NFL by a lot. It's just going to get – there's going to be more separation if he stays injury-free.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, yes, as the weather turns. And at least from this week's standpoint, not a very good defense at stopping the run. So maybe a nice King Henry show on Sunday for the Titans.
It's funny, too, because, like, I think he's really in a good place for this game because he's been tweeting a lot about hamburgers and stuff this week. Like, he's loose. He usually doesn't tweet a whole lot.
He doesn't, but our guy Will Compton has kind of pulled it out of him here. I mean, you almost don't have a choice when Bussin' with the Boys and Will Compton and starts tagging you on Twitter, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's 5 trillion tweets to you talking about burgers. So or just ripping you for your trash take on burgers. So
okay.
By the way, if you have missed all of this, This was like a locker room conversation. I believe it went from burgers. It also went to which is the best, from Blizzard to McFlurry to what was the other one? What's the third kind of?
Oh, like the Master Shake at Sonic.
Oh yes, Blast. Yeah. Sonic Blast. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was that big discussion, and it also turned to the burger discussion, and there you go. So so Compton is now tweeting about all of the different burgers he's trying.
Our by the way, our Twitter, like, this was a random start to the show. It was completely unplanned. Like a lot of, like, we have a general idea of what we're going to do. But sometimes, you know, I always tell people, like, it's almost like we're in a raft with you guys, and we're just kind of headed down the river, and we just don't know where, you know, where in the river we're going to go. But we do know that we're going to end up, you know, at 6 o'clock at the finish line. Jordan sent a picture of his cat. CJ writes, dogs over pet birds, over goldfish, over hamsters, over getting called into work on your day off, over stubbing your toe, over being a Jaguars fan, over cats.
That's great.
Really funny. Delisa sent us a picture of her cat, a calico cat. DB3 on Twitter, no matter how old or how many times that thing is played, the cat rant from the Coastal Carolina head coach is easily a top five listener classic. Thank you very much for the afternoon laughs and replay. Sure.
I don't know where he is, by the way. He got let go there.
He did, yeah. We'll have to look up his name and see where he is.
David, wasn't it Anderson or something? Bennett, I think. David Bennett, Coach Bennett.
I think it is David Bennett, yeah, because there was a player at Tennessee named David Bennett, and that's how I correlated that.
Yeah, but I don't know where he is. I just remember there was a that I think probably the biggest thing he did there was that viral video, honestly.
Clay Travis for President 2024 writes,
oh Lord.
Happy National Cat Day. Cats cannot ride in Jeeps, get a dog. And he sent a picture of his dog. And then Daniel writes, best cat is a dead cat. Okay. Goodness. This is where we are. All right. Derek Mason will join us in the next segment. We'll go through Ryan Tannehill's numbers. He has now played 16 regular season games for the Titans, and I'll tell you exactly where that 16-game season would rank in Titans Oilers history. It's up there. 615-737-1045. You want to sneak in before Coach Mason. He'll join us about 325. You can do it. 615-737-1045.
The Midday 180 with regular guests like Eddie George, Coach Dean Pease, and more. They are just setting the bar. They are the bar for excellence.
Well, some might argue that I'm just reading this.
The Midday 180, tomorrow from 9 to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery at 104.5 The Zone. Britt Doherty, Don Davenport with you. National Cat Day has spurred a lot of tweets and a lot of pictures. Cat hate. Yeah, it's weird. Like, cats are either loved or hated. They're not. There's no in between with cats. Mm-mm. They're very divisive creatures.
Yeah, that fits wonderful into our current climate right now. Cats. Yeah.
Cats should go into politics.
Yeah, I'm saying all that divisive stuff. That's where cats sit. That's where they live, right there in the divisive world. You either love them or you hate them. Hey, by the way, David Bennett, the Coastal Carolina cats dogs rant.
Yeah.
You know, when I had said, I wonder where he is right now. Well, we have found out first when he was let go at Coastal Carolina. You said he went, he ran some high school program into the ground, right?
Well, here's the thing. Like, he took a year off. He was at Coastal Carolina from 2003 to 2011. And then he took a year off. And then he coached high school football in South Carolina, a place called River Bluff. And they went 7-3. It was the first year of the school. And he went 7-3. That's awesome. That may be his best coaching job ever. So the next year they go 8-5. Then they go 7-4. Then in 2016, in year four, something happened. And David Bennett went 1-9 overall, 0-6 in conference play. And then he was done. He was done. Done coaching in 2016.
Well, apparently now he is the head athletic director for Lexington School District 1 in Lexington, South Carolina. So there you go. He's just moving on up so he doesn't have to give be a dog rants anymore.
It's unfortunate because I'm sure he could come up with other ramps. Like, I don't think he's just, you know, locked in on the be a dog rant.
Yeah, no, that one was next level. So that was definitely next
level. One of those where, like, you know, when you're some sort of a public figure and you go home and your wife's like, what was that? what were you thinking there?
That's exactly what that was. Doesn't your wife do that every time you get home from this show?
Yeah. My prayer is that she's busy and hasn't heard the last 20 minutes of this show.
All right. We talk about next level. That's where Ryan Tannehill is.
Oh my.
From a numbers standpoint at quarterback so far this season. What do you have?
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill now has 16 regular season starts as a Titans quarterback. So over those 16 games, Donnie's 327 of 473. That is a 69.1% completion percentage, which is outrageous. He has thrown for 4,188 yards, which is the would be the third best season ever. There was a guy named Warren Moon that was flinging it around. You know, they
he's all right.
Yeah, the Buddy Ryan called it the Chuck and Duck offense. but it was that run and shoot type thing. So he had two seasons better than that, but 4,188 yards, third best ever, 37 touchdowns in these 16 games, which would be the most ever in Titans Oilers franchise history. The record is 36 and only 7 interceptions. Ryan Tannehill has not even, I mean, he's played 16 games, regular season games. He's already 14th all time in passing yardage in Titans Oilers history. He's got a shot with the projected numbers that he has now projecting out for 16 games this year and adding them to the games that he played last year. I think he would be around 6th in passing yardage, just in front of Vince Young, who played a little more than 2 years. So 6th all time, it looks like it, projecting it out. He's 7th all time already in passing touchdowns. 7th all time. So projected 2020 numbers, 4,240 yards, which would be the third best ever. To give you an idea for Titans fans that have been in it since the team has been in Nashville, Steve McNair's best year was 3,387 yards. So 3,387 yards for McNair, 4,240 yards for Ryan Tannehill projected out. 40 touchdowns is the projected total moving forward this season. That would be first, obviously, the record 36, as I said, George Blanda, and 5 interceptions. Just unbelievable what this guy is doing. Yeah, he would be 7th all-time in passing yardage, 6th all-time in passing touchdowns. So Ryan Tannehill getting it done. Isn't it amazing, though, with regard to him? I mean, his story is amazing. But also just the framework of this offense and that story is amazing too, because that switch was just flipped like overnight from what Mariota was doing. And remember, I told you for like a year and a half that Mariota was not the guy big picture, and people were killing me because they loved Marcus so much. And I said, look, it's nothing personal. I'm just saying the guy is what we know what he is. And so you go to Ryan Tannehill and you see this kind of production out of the framework of this offense, out of the mind of Arthur Smith, and you think just what a perfect marriage it is. And just a great story for Tannehill too, because think about it. If he doesn't get dealt to the Titans, what does his career look like? Like what is his legacy in the NFL? It's so much different because of this move. It's crazy.
Yeah, so. And I know he's not a guy that sits back and thinks about that often, but you know that runs through his mind. I mean, so you know that
it would have to, right?
It's just meant to be sometimes runs through his mind. Absolutely. No doubt. I mean, look at Miami right now, too, with the drafting of Tua, the Fitzmagic, who was so open about, I mean, just emotionally open about, you know, getting pulled. And I if you're Tannehill, you're at some point you're stepping back and taking it all in and saying, man, things happen for a reason. It's a good place to be right now with these weapons.
Right. And I believe that to be true too. The other thing too that Ryan Tannehill's transitional success does is it opens the door for other quarterbacks in the league that are maybe struggling in the system that they're in, like a Daniel Jones or something, because like, you know, an organization will look at Daniel Jones and they'll say, okay, this guy's got arm talent, and as long as he doesn't trip over the 20-yard line, he can run 80 yards for you. Sam Darnold. You know, some of these guys that have struggled in their one system will get other looks because people will look at Ryan Tannehill. Derek Mason joins us now on 3HL Vanderbilt football. Coach Mason, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing well. Better for you asking. It's good to see you, Brenda.
Good to see you, man. It's been a while for me. That Ryan Tannehill story is something, right? I mean, I know you don't spend, you know, detailed time like analyzing Titans quarterbacks, but it's got to be cool to because you work with guys that are trying to do the best they can every day to be the best they can every day. So it's got to be cool to see a guy get a new opportunity and succeed and thrive.
Well, I think it just speaks to, you know, guys knowing and understanding that there's a place out there for you. I think, yeah. You know, sometimes you find yourself in situations that aren't ideal, you know, with a ton of expectations and, you know, sometimes, you know, whether it's the cast around you or whether it's just not a good fit, you know, you find yourself just wanting to be in the right situation. And I think that's what it comes down to, you know, right fit, you know, he's with the right coach, the right system, you know, that truly fits him. You know, he's a leader. And that's what you need, man. You need somebody that can lead. You know, when you watch Ryan Tannehill, like with his team, they love him. They play hard for him now because he plays hard for them. Yeah. And, you know, it's visual. I mean, I like, you know, like just seeing his energy and his demeanor. And you know what? He never looks like he's out of the fight ever. And I think that's something that guys rally around.
No well, doubt. And that's something you have to pay attention to too, as a college football coach, when you're talking about transfers, right? Because you've got to evaluate what would this guy look like in my system, right?
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what you're looking for. When guys, you know, transfer, you're looking at, okay, like everybody thinks it's ability, and it is ability, but I mean, it's got to be a good fit. It's got to be that, you know, I mean, they understand, you know, like how they're going to be utilized in the system. There's some trust and transparency in terms of what that's going to look like when they get there. And then, you know, they've got to be able to work, you know, like to find themselves sort of meshing with the group of guys that you have. But I think in this, you know, I mean, there's great opportunity for all players. You just got to find the right fit. And when they find the right fit, you know, you can find success. No
good,
doubt.
Good example, Keyshawn Vaughn, running back.
Hey, listen, man.
You had to have done a little dance when you got that kid, man.
so happy when Keyshawn decided to come here because we knew how talented he was, but it wasn't about the talent. Young man came in here and worked. He earned every bit of what he got, and again, you know, his energy became infectious. He just needed a new opportunity, and it's amazing what new opportunities you know can present you with the right mindset.
Do you keep in touch with him? He's doing pretty well at the next level right now.
Yeah, I try to keep in touch with all these guys. You know, I mean, it's tougher with their schedules and what's going on. I mean, yeah. I hear a thing or two from coaches. I try to hit them every once in a while, you know, on social media just to make sure all these guys are doing okay. But they respond. They got fond memories of this place and what they were able to do here, and they're very appreciative of having an opportunity to get a world-class education and compete in the SEC.
Well, head coach Derek Mason with Vanderbilt is with us. Coach, so last time we saw you guys on the field, it was like almost 3 weeks ago now.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
And you were down 13 DBs in that game. I mean, that's rough. So now that you've had a couple of weeks to get guys healthy, to work through kind of COVID issues, all of that, where are you health-wise as you head into this Ole Miss game?
We're a healthier football team. You know, we're almost back to full strength, but we're ready to go play. And again, you know, I mean, getting veteran guys back, you know, allows you to play a different, you know, type of football. You know, communication is not on that job. And there's no area where communication is more important than on the back end because, you know, football is now, you know, back end adjusted with all the tempo and with, you know, everything that you see in terms of motions and shifts. Generally, you know, it's back end adjusted. So, you know, to have guys who have played football, who you know, I mean, have seen – you know, not only the level of talent, but the myriad of pictures that you see on a game day and being able to talk to those things and get guys in the right spot, man, it's a true blessing. So I'm excited. I know they're excited. I mean, if you want to talk to, you know, somebody who's excited, talk to Dial. You know, when you got a young back end back there, you know, you just try to make sure, I mean, you can, you know, man, put fingers in holes. But, you know, he's watched practice, you know, like in the meeting rooms, and he's like, man, okay, it's good to have veterans back because it's all about rushing coverage. You know, when those two are playing together, you know, rushing coverage are playing together, man, it gives you an opportunity, man, to go get some cash. So let's go get some cash.
Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason with us on 3HL. It was reported that you were down to 56 scholarship players in that game against South Carolina. Is that the biggest challenge you've been confronted with as a football coach, trying to figure out what to do game plan wise, roster wise in that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely challenging. You know, looking at where we were, again, it goes back to the communication piece. You know, when you're looking at you know, guys and they're seeing different pictures and the pictures are coming at them, you know, I mean, pretty fast. And, you know, I mean, guys see it, but then the ability to communicate it so that everybody else can get adjusted. Sometimes that's just what you run into. I mean, that ball game was close early and then got way late. And again, you know, you just need some endurance. You need the ability to play through, you know, a little bit of adversity, figure out exactly where you need to go. And when it snowballs on inexperienced players or young players, sometimes, man, they're just not in a position to handle, you know, like everything that comes at them. And as a coach, man, you think at the end of the day, man, that you can call it and make it right, but calls don't fix it. Players fix it, you know? So I think, and that doesn't discount, you know, X's and O's, but I mean, it really puts an onus on, you know, understanding a system, understanding of what you're seeing, and really, you know, like, how are you making these adjustments, you know, in game where guys, you know, fully understand what you're talking about. Okay. Not pieces of what you're talking about, because you can have nine guys, you know, man, doing the right thing, two guys doing the wrong thing. And that leads to, you know, an explosive play. So football is the ultimate team game where you got to have 11 guys doing the same thing in order to defensively and offensively, you got to have 11 guys doing the same thing in order to have success.
You mentioned endurance and explosive plays. So for your defense, this is the challenge this week with a team that is likes to go tempo, that will try and wear you out, that will give you a lot of dressing to confuse you. I mean, what do you see when you look at Lane Kiffin's offense and what they do, and what do you tell your defense?
You know what? I give Lane Kiffin a lot of credit, you know, I mean, for what, you know, I mean, he's done. You know, offensively there at Ole Miss, I mean, it's an offense that's going to challenge you both vertically and horizontally. They stretch the field, you know, with wide sets. I mean, you're going to see receivers almost going from tick mark to tick mark on the field, you know, in terms of their alignments. And then he can run the football at you, whether it's, you know, with their, you know, two-headed monster at running back led by Ely, or whether it's the quarterbacks, because both Plumlee and Carroll can both move. And so with that, you know, I mean, anytime, and you're pretty balanced, because everybody thinks that they just want to throw the ball, but they look at the box, they read the box. They're going to look to see if you got five or six guys in the box, you know, like, how do you handle the box when it empties? And you better be careful, because the quarterback run is as good as the running backs, you know, when those guys, you know, get to the second level. So we've just got to make sure, man, our eyes are clean. They're going to have trick plays. You know, Lane's going to go for it on fourth down. Anytime he crosses the 50-yard line, look for him to be, you know, a four down, you know, offense, because that's what he does. And for us, man, we got to be good in first and second down. We got to, you know, limit the explosive plays by playing top down. And we got to understand that we got to get some pressure on the quarterback.
So when they get the advantage in the box, like you're talking about, they did this against Alabama all night, and it pissed Nick Saban off. But they would go tempo, obviously, and then when they got the numbers in the box, they would straight up run, like, every single time. Is that what you see? Like when you're on the sideline and you see the amount, like, that they have the box advantage, it's pretty much a run?
Yeah. I mean
is it that simple?
It's pure numbers count. You know, and Lane has been doing this a long time. He's really good at being able to, you know, provide enough eye candy and enough movement, you know, with motions and shifts, you know, to really to really, you know, get your secondary and backers like to move. And all they need is a gap movement, and either one of those quarterbacks can get out the gate. So, you know, we've got to be aware of what they're trying to do to us with backfield motion, with wide receiver motion, you know, what comes off of that. And really, you've got to honor the run and play top down in the secondary in order for you to make them have to go to long haul. Because the thing that you've seen, you know, from Ole Miss, especially starting early in the season, is that they're going to take shots and they want the deep ball. They want the big play. So we've got to be smart enough to understand that, stay in deep defense, but really we got to get hats to the ball, because everybody that touches the ball there can go yard.
Well, the other side of that is they're not very good defensively. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. So you'll have opportunities for Seals to get some good looks too, right?
We just want to make sure that our offense, you know, can take advantage of what the, you know, defense gives them as well. We feel like in the run game there's going to be some things, you know, enforced there, but we got to be able to throw the ball. We got to be able to take our own shots. You can't just sit in there, you know, like with the Ole Miss, you know, football team and just take punches all day. You know, I mean, you got to be able to have your fair share of punches when you're attacking them offensively, and you got to throw punches. So we're going to throw punches. We're going to get out there, man. We're going to, you know, take our shots, man. We're going to make sure, remember, that we've got, you know, I mean, our pieces in place to where we need to attack, and in certain areas of the field, you know, we're going to do the things that we need to do. And I think our quarterback has done a good job over the last 2 weeks of really realizing, okay, you know, yards per play, what can we do on first and second down to get us in manageable third downs, because we got to be better on third down. And then red zone, got to take care of the football, score points. So, but the only way to really do that for us, stay on the field, okay? When there's five, take five, okay? When there's 15, take 15. When there's 65, we're going to get that too. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting a little change in your pocket.
That's my favorite. Hey, Coach, you follow Lane Kiffin on Twitter? You
he's been in the news. I don't know if you've seen.
I don't have time to follow Lane on Twitter. You know, to be honest, hey, I've heard about it. I hear it's comical. You know, he's got plenty of personality, but for me, I got to worry about coaching, you know, ball games and get ready to play him. So that's where I'm spending my time.
Well, I was just trying to stir the pot. I was hoping maybe I could get you to tweet at him or something, you know.
He's looking for 2.5 million pennies. So if you've got like a stash of pennies lying around.
I mean, I know everybody's probably heard about it, but I would expect
that to complain. If you came up with like 5,000 pennies or something and had them delivered to his team hotel, that would be amazing.
He probably posted it. He probably posted it.
I know, and then you'd get fined.
Yeah, I would. That's my life.
Well, have fun on Saturday. Dawn will be there, so you can hug up on her.
No, none of that. COVID. Oh, yeah. We're super careful around here.
We'll be around the mic.
Yeah, give her all the stories, and she can break them before the game starts and all those things. Hey, good to see you, man. It's been a while. Hey, love it.
Thanks, Coach.
Take care. Anchor down.
All right, there he is, Derek Mason. Vanderbilt Ole Miss at 3 o'clock. You will be on the sideline. And what network is that game on?
SEC Network.
There you go. Yes. They jumble them around, you know, when there's only four of them. So sometimes.
Yeah, especially nowadays. It's crazy. Next weekend, there is only four SEC games.
Speaking of Lane Kiffin, he had more to say today to the media about said situation. We've got that for you when we come back. Also, the Titans and Bengals injury report is out. Stay tuned. 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
The Panthers and Falcons. Kickoff is tonight at 7:15 on your home for Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night football. 104.5 The Zone.
Retail powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Today is National Cat Day. If you want to send us a picture of your cat, maybe you can change our cold-hearted minds about cats. You put it all on me, the cat hate. And I don't really hate cats, but clearly you're not a cat person either, because you have four dogs.
I know. A cat would be dead in about 1.2 seconds. A cat would be dead faster than Ben Roethlisberger got the ball out of his hands against the Titans on Sunday. That's how fast the cat would be dead in this house.
which is what Joe Burrow is going to try to do. The injury report is out. We do have some more Lane Kiffin sound for you today, where he met with the media and called them soft, I think. So, because they waited, I guess, to ask about the $25,000 fine or whatever. So anyway, here's the Cincinnati Bengals practice report. Geno Atkins, defensive tackle, and Mike Daniels, defensive tackle, both limited today after not practicing yesterday. They had non-injury related stuff. So basically, I think they've had a day off and then a light day today. Did not practice. Remember, you know, everybody's been talking about Cincinnati with three offensive linemen potentially out this week. One is for sure. But it looks like they could have both offensive tackles and a center. Bobby Hart with a knee, did not practice. Trey Hopkins, the center with a concussion, did not practice yesterday or today. Joe Mixon, the running back with a foot, did not practice yesterday or today. Darius Phillips, cornerback with a knee, did not practice yesterday, nor did he practice today. And offensive tackle Jonah Williams with a stinger, he's got that neck thing. He's day-to-day. He didn't practice yesterday, and he did not practice today. Brandon Wilson, the safety, limited today after not practicing yesterday. The following players were full participants. Marcus Bailey, the linebacker. Seatham Carter, the tight end, A.J. Green, wide receiver, William Jackson, cornerback, and Michael Jordan, at guard, Michael Jordan. Yeah, he was back out there today. John Ross, the wide receiver with all that speed, he has two catches this year. I mean, he's been just worked right out of that offense. But he did practice today after not practicing yesterday. For the Titans, Jadeveon Clowney did not practice yesterday with a knee, did not practice again today. So we'll have to see what's going on. Remember, he got helped off the field, but did come back. Dane Cruikshank dealing with the groin, did not practice yesterday, limited today. Christian Fulton, of course, is out. Jonathan Joseph, cornerback, did not practice yesterday, nor did he practice today. He's got an illness. Dennis Kelly, offensive tackle with a knee, did not practice yesterday, nor did he practice today. And he was victimized in the game against the Steelers. Defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, non-injury related, did not practice yesterday, full participant today, and took part in the media availability today. He should be good to go. Cornerback Ty Smith with a shoulder, did not practice yesterday, limited today. Daniel Munyer, offensive lineman with a hand, limited yesterday, did not practice today. So a step back for him. And A.J. Brown, wide receiver, did not practice today with a knee, but that's similar to what happened last week.
Yeah, he didn't practice last week, Thursday of last week either. Right. You know, Mike Vrabel's big on maintenance days and making sure that his guys are fresh and feeling okay. And with that bone bruise, I would hope and assume that it's similar to what we saw last week. And the A.J. Brown we saw on Sunday, I'm good with him missing a Thursday practice if he's going to give you that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we'll be all right with that.
So, by the way, the Titans, a 6-point favorite yesterday against the Bengals, down to 5.5 today. And a lot of money going in on the Titans. So, it looks like they're wanting more money in on the Titans. So, interesting line movement there. Lane Kiffin, as we alluded to with Derek Mason, Lane Kiffin fined $250,000 for questioning the officiating, criticizing the officiating from the Ole Miss-Auburn game.
$25,000,
yes. 2.5 million pennies he said he was going to deliver to the commissioner, which is really funny. So our advice, I mean, if Derek Mason wanted to get some publicity, I mean, why not? Just send over like 5,000 pennies over to Lane Kiffin's hotel when they're in town this weekend, and you'll get some attention because, you know, Lane would go straight to Twitter with that. Would you do that if you were Derek Mason?
I would do something. I mean... I would do something to capitalize off of the Twitter popularity of Lane Kiffin. Now Coach Mason is, you know, way smarter than we are and knows not to engage that kind of stuff. But I totally would. Like, I really cannot wait for Ole Miss, Mississippi State this year with Lane Kiffin versus Mike Leach and the Twitter lead up to that, all of that. I can't wait for all of this. But Lane Kiffin has a great point in his rant today. Maybe JT can get it. Well, you know what? Maybe we can play it next. But
let's do that. Let's play it in the next segment.
Okay. Yeah. He pointed out. I mean, great point. Like, look how many people are talking about Ole Miss right now. They're not a good football team. They're not.
They're fun to watch, though.
Oh, they're fun to watch offensively. I mean, defensively
too.
They can't. I mean, they couldn't stop you running the ball.
I know, which is also fun to watch. I mean, it's just if you listen. If you don't have a dog in the hunt or a cat in the hunt, since it's National Cat Day, they're a fun team to watch no matter who they're playing. Because, I mean, in situations like that, what you're looking for are big plays, right? You're going to get them from Ole Miss on offense and defense. Not from their defense, you know, going the other way. Right. What we need from Mike Leach, though, is, like, for him to get that offense going and to win games and to set up some sort of, I mean, there's going to be drama anyway because of those two and because of those two schools.
Yeah. Oh, there's drama without, you know, kind of fiery coaches. And then you add two fiery coaches. How about this, though, for Vanderbilt? They've got Ole Miss this week. So they've had, what, 2.5 weeks off because their game with Missouri was canceled. They've got Ole Miss this week, a defense that is struggling to find themselves big time. Yeah. A team that's won one game. And then they have Mississippi State, who I want to say just lost maybe 5 or 6 more guys, or 7, I think, hit the transfer portal within the last week or two. So they're struggling in the same place number wise as well, with a new coaching regime that's kind of cleaning house there. These next 2 weeks are massive for this Vanderbilt football team. Massive.
No question. We want to hear from you. Lots on the table. We've worked in college football. We definitely have worked in Titans Bengals. 615-737-1045. We will play the Lane Kiffin rant from today when we come back. Stay tuned. 3HL 1045, The Zone.
It's now easier to watch a Titans game while listening to Mike Keith and Coach Mack. Because who wants to hear the national announcers when you can hear your own local guys? Download the 104.5 The Zone app, then turn down your TV. Or open the app while you're at Nissan Stadium. This is your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.